Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Chaf Terem and Aleph. Just as we spoke about yesterday, the Gemara concluded on the bottom of Chaf Chet, the machlokas between Ula and Parpada, to explain the second case in the Mishnah. There we saw the machlokas have shown him how to explain the machlokas of Ula and Parpada, whether they simply disagree after the Nitiot are cut down. In that machlokas, Ula says the Kedusha goes away and you don't have to do anything, whereas Parpada believes that after they are cut down, you still have to redeem them one more time to remove the Kedusha. Whereas the other Rishonim believed that not only do they argue after they're cut down, but even before they're cut down, where Bar Papa says that every time you redeem it before they're cut down, the Kedusha comes back. Then we said in the first point, those first Rishonim, that Ula would agree to that. The second set of Rishonim say no, that Ula and Bar Papa even disagree in that case, that in the case where before the cutting down of the tree, you redeem it, Bar Papa is going to say that every time you redeem it, the Kedusha comes back, where Ula will say that once you redeem it once, that is sufficient even before they are cut down. Now the Gemara is going to continue trying to understand better the position of Ula, and then based on understanding the position of Ula, they're going to question the position of Bar Papa. So Amalei Rav Nuna, Kedusha Shebehen Heichan Halcha. According to Ula, who says that once you cut the trees down, the Kedusha goes away by itself, then where did this Kedusha go? Where do we find such a concept that you can have Kedusha for a limited period of time, and after that period of time, Kedusha goes away? Right? Let's say in a case of Kiddushin by a woman. Do we ever find such a case where you can say to a woman, marry me for the day, and tomorrow we won't be married? So, again, he created Kiddushin for a limited period of time, and we should say the Kiddushin goes away after he set that duration, and therefore she will not require a gift. Is that true? Me nafka below get. Right, we don't have such a case where a woman who is, we say, is married only for a certain duration, that she then is not married, right, without any action, without any get. No, she's married. Once you get married, that kedushin stays with you until it's stopped by a get. So too by kedusha, where we find such a concept that kedusha can go away by itself. The only way to remove kedusha is to be podet, to redeem it, to give it to the Beis Hamikdash. There's no such thing as having for a certain duration of time that there be Kedusha, and then after that period of time, the Kedusha disappears. So how does Ula explain such a position, that after you cut it down, the Kedusha will disappear? I will note here on the side, just on the side, that the Rishonim argue about our Mishnah. We've learned our Mishnah so far as being referring to Kodesh. I mean that when he says that Yehei Karban or it should be Kodesh, we meant literally Kodesh to the Mikdash. There are others who believe when they took the net there in our Mishnah, it was referring to Konamot, that he took a neder that restricted this item to people. Now, according to those opinions that say that this is a regular type of neder, konamot neder, then what's the question of Rav Amnuna here? Because we do find such a thing. We find that you can limit a neder. We've seen cases earlier on where a husband can say to his wife that you are nene to me until Pesach if you go to your father's house until Sukkot. So we see that only until Pesach she is restricted in Hanoah. So that the Isser Hanoah can be limited. So the Ran says here that you have to say that when do we say that Hanoah is a sewer for a limited duration? Or you can create a nether for a limited duration. That's only when you make a nether about a specific individual, where you restrict one or specific person to an item, or a specific item or a specific person, then we say you can limit the duration of the nether. But when you make something asur legamre, meaning that you make it the equivalent of hektesh, that konamot, in such an instance you cannot limit the duration. Because it looks like hektesh, therefore you're unable to limit the duration. And what you must say is that konamot, in this case, konamot are like hektesh, that they're more chomor than a regular nether. And since they're more chomor than a regular nether, we are unable to undo them without any pidyum. So this is the Gemara further on, but I just wanted to point out because there are Rishonim who learn the Mishnah differently. But now continuing our Gemara, Amalei Rava. Rava challenges Rav Amnuna's position that Kedusha can't go away by itself. Because Rava says, Mika medamit, Kedusha's damim, the Kedusha's a goof. How are you comparing two different types of Kedusha? In Hektesh, there are two forms of Kedusha. One form of Kedusha is Kedushas Damim, which means that I am really donating money to the Mikdash, and I'm doing this donation by offering up some object, some possession of mine, to the Mikdash. Now, the Mikdash doesn't need the object that I'm giving, but it wants the monetary value. So what I do is, either I or someone else will redeem this item, and once we redeem this item, that money will go to the Mikdash. So it's a donation to the Mikdash. That's called Kedushat Damim. There's also something called Kedushat Haguf, where the item I'm donating is actually going to go to the Mikdash or go to the Mizbeach. For instance, an animal that's ready to be a karban, that's able to be a karban. In such an instance, that animal is brought up to the Mizbeach and given as a karban. It's something that's used in the Mikdash, and therefore it has what's called Kedushas Haguf. Redeeming it does not work because we're not after the monetary value to be in the Mikdash, but we actually want the possessor and the item to go to the Mikdash. That's Kedushas Haguf. So Rava says, you compared two different cases. Our case in our Mishnah is talking about Kedushas Damim. Right? Kedushas Damim is donating something for its monetary value. When you talk about Kedushin, right, that is a different category. That might be Kedushas Haguf. Not that Rava here is suggesting that in Kedushin we have such a difference in Kedushas Damim and Kedushas Haguf. But Rav is pointing out that within Hekdesh to the Mikdash, we have such a differentiation between Damim, something that's donated for its monetary value, versus Guf, which is it's donating for its inherent usage in the Mikdash. And since we have such a differentiation in Hekdesh, we should also differentiate here between Kedushin and our case. Kedushin should be like the case of Kedushas Haguf. And therefore, in a case of Kedushas Haguf, you can say Kedusha doesn't go away by itself. Not for Hekdesh, and not in a case of Kedushin by a woman. But by Kedushas Damim, maybe we do find such a differentiation, that maybe Kedushas Damim can go away by itself. So Rava's solution here is to say that maybe Rav Hununa's question is not a valid question, because we can find a differentiation in Hekdesh. Since we find that differentiation in Hekdesh, we'll apply the differentiation between the case of Kedushin that he brought down, and the case of Hekdesh that we mentioned over here. That's what Rava says. Amalei Rava, mi kam adamit kedushas damim kedushas aguf. Kedushas damim paka bichte. Kedushas damim might go away by itself. Kedushas haguf lo paka bichte. But when it's kedushas aguf, we're talking about this higher level or this stronger level kedusha when the item is inherently kodesh, there it won't go away by itself. Just point out here something that we just mentioned before, but the Gemara's assumption here in kedushin is that if you are marry someone for a day, and say after that day you're not married, but you would require a get. Question is, where does the Gemara know that from? There is no source. The Gemara never has a source that such thing is true. So the Rishonim over here point out, or the number of the Rishonim point out here, that we do have such a case by get. If a person says to a woman, we are divorced today completely, but tomorrow we'll be remarried. You know, this is a get for a day. There the Gemara says, once the get's effective, it becomes fully effective, and the reversal does not work. I mean that if you give a get for a day, but it's a get that's a totally valid, complete get, you're divorced completely, and then you say after this day, then this get will not be a get anymore, we'll be remarried. That get works on the day, and once they're divorced, that condition afterwards is irrelevant. So the Rishonim say, since we have a general principle of Ikkish Havaya Litzia, that Kedushin and Gitin, we compare them all the time, that we run, we assume that the dinim that are applicable in one are applicable in the other. So the Rishonim believe here that's the source of the Gemara's source. That's the Gemara's source here for the fact that Kedushin won't work for a day, because in Gittin we find such an instance that Gittin will won't for a day, and if you say we are divorced for the day, the divorce becomes complete, final, and lasts forever. So do it by Kedushin. If you say we're going to have Kedushin for a day, that will take effect, and the condition that it will not be effective after this day will be irrelevant, and the Kedushin will continue forever. So again, just to summarize what we've had in the Gemara so far, Rav Hununa challenges Ula's position that Kedusha can go away by itself because we have this case by Kedushin and we see that it doesn't go away by itself. Rav says maybe Rav Hununa's challenge is not good because we can differentiate between Kedusha's Damim and Kedusha's Haguf. Now, Amalei Abaye. Abaye comes along and challenges what Rav says. Kedusha's Haguf, lo paka bichtei. Is it really true that Kedusha's Haguf can't go away by itself? Is that really true? Behatanya, we have a brisa. Someone says about their animal, this shore, it will be an olah for 30 days, and after 30 days, it will become a shlamim. Kol lamid yom olah, for the first 30 days, it will be an olah, and the achar lamid yom shlamim, And after 30 days, it will turn into a shlamim. So, what's happening here? Here he says that my animal will be an olah for 30 days and then shlamim after that 30-day period. So if he brings it up to the mikdash in the first 30 days, he'll bring it as a korban olah. If he brings it up to the mikdash after 30 days, he'll bring it up as a korban shlamim. Now this is a problem for Rabba. Why am I? Why should this work? Kedushas haguf ninhu. The fact that you made an olah for the first 30 days, that is kedushas haguf. Upalka bichte. And yet it disappears. Why? Because it becomes a shlamim after 30 days. In order for it to become a shlamim after 30 days, it must be that the olah went away after the 30th day. How did the olah go away? I mean, how were you able to limit kedushas haguf? So that would be a question on Rava, because Rava's position is kedushas haguf doesn't disappear, kedushas haman does. But here we see a brisa which shows you that kedushas haguf can go away. Where it says no problem, achol ma'eskinan da'amar l'demei. No, this kedusha that you're talking about in our Mishnah is not talking about kedushas haguf. It's talking about in the brisa. It's talking about kedushas damim. What's the case of kedushas damim? So it must be we're talking about a behema balmum. It's a behema that has a blemish in it, and therefore it's no longer roy the mizbech. It's not able to be brought to the mizbech. So when you're makdish this animal, your intent is to sell the animal and then use the proceeds for that which you said. So now when he says that for the first 30 days it should be an olah and after that it should be a shlamim, means if I sell the animal, if I redeem the animal in the first 30 days, then the proceeds will be used to bring an olah in the mikdash. Whereas if I redeem it after 30 days, then it will be a shlamim. The money will be used to purchase a shlamim to go to the mikdash. So that would help out Rabba. Why? Because yes, Kedusha Palka Bichte, meaning that it switches from an olah to a shlamim by itself and goes away, the olah goes away after 30 days. But that's in Kedusha's Dhamim. Rava agreed by Kedusha's Dhamim that you can have such a case that the Kedusha goes away by itself. What he didn't allow, or he didn't agree, was that Kedusha's Aguf can go away by itself. By setting up the Bryce as Kedusha's Dhamim, now it can even work according to Rava. The problem with this is that the Bryce has a second case. Yochim a Seifa. What are you going to do with the second case in the Bryce? Lach ar yilam ed yom ola. After 30 days, this will be an olah. Umeachshav, but before it becomes an olah, after 30 days, it will be a shlamim. It will be a shlamim. So this is the same case, but just in the reverse order. I mean, first of all, he put the second kedusha on first, but he also switched between olah and shlamim. So Gemara says, Iyamar fish shlama chada b'kedushas haguf v'chada b'kedushas damim. If you suggest that the chiddush in our Mishnah, in his brisa, I'm sorry, is that the two cases, one case is talking about kedushas haguf, and one case is talking about kedushas damim, then it makes sense that the brisa brought down two cases. Then it makes sense why the brisa brought down two different cases. One to teach us about kedushas damim, and one to teach us about kedushas aguf. The sakadat chamino, I would have thought, like Rava, kedushas aguf lo paka bichte, that kedushas aguf does not go away by itself, but kedushas damim paka bichte, but kedushas damim can go away by itself. So, therefore, Tana Tarti. The Tana comes along to teach you, no, that's what Rava said is not true, and Kedushas Damim can go away by itself, and Kedushas Aguf can go by itself. Ella, if you hold like Rava, yeah, Mark, Idvidi, Kedushas Damim, that you have to explain this Bryce to be about Kedushas Damim, because you don't believe that Kedushas Aguf goes away by itself, and therefore you have to explain both cases in the Bryce about Kedushas Damim. Lama Lamitne Tarti. Why do I need two cases? The first case in the Braisa where you made it an olah first, and then it switched into a shlamim, you're going from something that's higher level of kedusha, meaning an olah, and then it's switching the kedusha's kala and becoming a shlamim, paka, right? There we said, it works. And you're able to switch it from an olah to a shlamim in kedusha's damim. Mikdusha kala, the second case in the Braisa where you're switching from a shlamim to an olah, the kedusha chamura, which is an olah, tzrichal ameitmer. So why do you need this at all? So this is the conclusion of this part of the Gemara. This part of the Gemara concludes that the Braisa must be talking about two different cases. One is Kedushas Aguf, and one is Kedushas Damim. If that's the case, then Rava, the question that, or the solution that Rava proposed, is not a good solution. So now most Rishonim, if you look at the Rush, the Ron here, say that this is a problem for Rava. I mean that the Gemara's conclusion over here that this Braisa is talking about Kedushas Aguf and Kedushas Damim, which means that both Kedushas Aguf and Kedushas Damim can disappear, meaning they can go away without any other action being taken. So that would be a problem for Rava, who suggested that there is a difference between Kedushas Aguf and Kedushas Domin, because we see from our Brisa that that is not the case. Whereas for Ula, this will not be a problem, because this Brisa even supports the position of Ula, that you see that Kedusha can go away by itself. That's how most Rishonim learned. Rashi over here seems to suggest, or Rashi, whoever is Rashi in this Masechta, suggests that this is a problem for Ula. Because Rava was coming to solve the question that Rav Hamnuna opposed for Ula, and since he posed the question for Ula and Rava was trying a solution, without Rava's solution, then Rav Hamnuna's question becomes a question for Ula again. Now, again, we just said that the Brisa supports Ula's position, so it's hard to say that, but the way the Rashi is learning over here is that the Gemara's sequence of events was that Rava was solving a problem for Ula, and since that solution is no longer available to us, this will be a problem for Ula. Right, this is the conclusion of the first part of the daf. Now the second part of the daf is now going to say, all right, now that we've already either gotten rid of, left Ula in a question, or gotten rid of Rava's solution for Ula, but Ula is fine because we have a Brisa that supports his position, what is Bar Papa going to do with this Brisa? This Brisa seems to suggest that Kedusha of Damim and Guf can go away by itself. But Bar Papa suggests in our case here that when the Ketzios are cut down, you still need to be Podit. So how is Bar Pado going to have to deal with or with our Mishnah? So that's what Gemara says right away. Gemara says, Lema tavit yufta de Bar Pado. Dama lo polka kedusha vichte. This brisa should be an issue for Bar Pado, who says that kedusha doesn't go away by itself, that even after they're cut down, you still have to redeem it one more time. And now, how is he going to explain this brisa, which seems to indicate both kedushas damim and kedushas haguf go away by themselves? So now the Gemara, Rav Papa is going to propose a solution in the Gemara. There's a, my focus here in the Rishonim, what this solution does. There are three different ways. There's Rashi. Rashi here suggests that there's a, the Gemara is saying here, there's a chsurei mechsurei, there are words that are missing from the Brisa, and he's going to amend the Brisa. Once he amends the Brisa, that's going to solve the problem for Bar Pada by saying this Brisa is an unusual case, it's a new case. But Rashi only rereads the first part of the Brisa, the first case in the Brisa. By reading the first case in the Brisa, he solves the problem. The second case does not need to be changed. There's the Rush. The Rush and the Ron learn in a similar way, but the Rush suggests that you have to amend the Brisa, both the first case in the Brisa and the second case of the Brisa, to solve the problem. The Ron says it's not a chusurei mechsura, that the words aren't missing from the Brisa, but you have to reread the Brisa in a different way. You have to understand the Brisa in a different way. And the only part of the Brisa that needs to be changed is the Sefer, the second case in the Brisa. So again, here we have three opinions going to be shown him. The Gemara is going to reread the Brisa. Rashi believes you only have to reread the first case in the Brisa, and he's going to do that through a chusurei mechsura. There's the Ron who believes you have to reread both cases in the Brisa and also solve this problem for Bar Pado. And then there's the Ron who suggests that you only have to reread the second case in the Brisa to solve the problem for Bar Pada. So what we'll do is I'll first read it according to Rashi, and then we'll go ahead and read it according to the Ran, and from the Ran you'll understand what the Rush is also doing. So now the Gemara says, Amar Apapa Amar Chor Bar Pada Hochi Kamar. In the Mishnah he says, Imo Amar Me Achshav Shlamim. If he doesn't say, from now it is a Shlamim, Lach Alamed Yom Ola. After 30 days, it will be an Ola. It'll be similar to a case, and we'll get back to this case in a second. I'll look in Rashi inside. If you look in the Rashi that says Chasurei Mechsura, Rashi actually has Chasurei Mechsura. We don't have that in our Gemara, but Rashi says Chasurei Mechsura Hachik Toni. So he says Omer Shorze Ola Kolamid Yom. Person who says that this Ola, this Shor will be an Ola for 30 days. Umi Achshav Uli Achal Lamid Yom Shlamim. And from now and after 30 days, it will become a shlamim. Kol lamed yom Allah. Then, for all 30 days, it's an Allah. Achal lamed yom shlamim. After 30 days, it becomes a shlamim. The hoel. Why? The avamar me'achshav. Chol eshem shlamim me'achshav. Since he said me'achshav about the shlamim, the kedusha of the shlamim actually happens right away. Shemachi avi shlamim achal yom. And therefore, the shlamim is effective even after 30 days. The Kedusha Zaguf, Paka Bahaki Bichte. This is an unusual case, this is an exceptional case, where Kedusha Zaguf will go away by itself. Ho Amar Miakshav, because he says Miakshav. Avalim Lo Amar Miakshav, if he didn't use the term Miakshav, Shlom Lachal Amid Yom, right? After 30 days, Olahabi. That is, remains an Olahabi, Filachal Amid Yom, right? Even after those 30 days, it will remain an Olah. So what is Rashi really saying? Rashi's really saying this. We had similar cases to this, for instance, in Ksubos. By a regular Kenyan, let's not talk about the Kachim here, we're talking a regular Kenyan. If a person says that I am Machna, I'm giving you a gift, after 30 days. Now, you make a Kenyan to solidify, you sell something and say, we want to make a Kenyan to have this transaction be effective today. But it'll only take place in 30 days. So if the person says, "May achshav ule'achar yamadyom," that from now, after 30 days, it will be in your possession, then the kinyan you do today is effective. Why? Because we're saying that the "may achshav," from now, this kinyan generates what the transaction, the gemira tzedakah that we need between us, and it will only be effective after 30 days. Whereas the person does not say "may achshav," and says only after 30 days this will be a gift, any kinyan we do today is not relevant. Why? Because what becomes relevant is after 30 days, wherever that animal is, or whatever kinyan you need to make, is only effective, or only will be effective, after those 30 days. So adding in the term yachshav makes today's kinyan relevant. So a case that the Gemara Ksuba says, if a person gives a gift after 30 days, this will be your para, and this para is not in his possession in 30 days, meaning that it's floating around, and it's not in a place where he would automatically be kona it in the chaser. There is no transaction, because there is no kinyan at that point when the 30 days come about. So Rashi is saying that a similar type of thing here by kodshim. What is that? That if you say me'achshav b'dishlamim, then the kedusha that you're placing on this animal at this moment is both an olah and a shlamim. The shlamim can't be effective today is because you already have it being an olah for 30 days. So once those 30 days of the olah are up, then the shlamim can come into effect. But that's only why? Because you have competing kedushos. You have kedushas olah and kedushas shlamim. If you institute, if you place them both on the animal simultaneously, then you can have the olah end after 30 days and the shlamim begin. That's what Rashi says. It's an exceptional case where kedushas aguf will go away by itself. But if you first place on the kedushas olah and limit it to 30 days, and then later on add in, say that it'll be kedushas shlamim, that won't work. Because at the moment you made it into a kedushas olah, the shlamim wasn't there. And then when you try to add the kedushas shlamim later on, the kedushas olah will not go away. So Rashi says this word of miachshav is what makes all the difference of when the kedusha is coming. If you make the kedusha of the shlamim and olah be effective at the same moment, then after 30 days the olah can go away and shlamim can start. But if you simply say that this will be kedusha olah for 30 days and then afterwards it will be a shlamim, then you're trying to make it kodesh in shlamim after 30 days. At that point it's still an olah, and the olah, the kedusha olah, will not go away by itself. And then Rashi says, well, if you amend the first part of the price to read this way, then you don't need to amend the second half of the price. So why? Because the second half of the price, he says, ba'achar lamed yom olah, after 30 days, it will be an olah. Meaning that he instituted the second kedusha first. So he says, after 30 days, it will be an olah. That's already in place. Then when he says it will be a shlamim from now, that shlamim will be limited to the effectiveness of when the olah will take place. The olah will start after 30 days. So therefore, the shlamim until that point can only be kodesh until that point. Because you already did the second kedusha before you did the first kedusha. Rashi says the only problem is when you try to put the first kedusha on, then you can't get rid of it to place the second kedusha unless you put them on simultaneously. But in a case where you started the second kedusha already, then when you place the first kedusha, that's not going to override the second kedusha that you already established. So that's the way Rashi learns the change in the brayta over here. Now, there are obvious difficulties with Rashi, because Rashi still says that kedusha zakuf is puck up there. It just happens to be an unusual case. And Rashi, it's difficult to understand why it doesn't override it, especially in the second case. Why doesn't, if you have kedusha now, why doesn't that override it later on, even though you said it first? So there are some difficulties with Rashi, but this is the way Rashi understands the Gemara. The Ran, on the other hand, says no. The Ran says that we're reading, and the Rosh reads similar to this, that the Gemara is saying that this works for Achar L'Amidyom. A person comes along and says, after 30 days, this will be an Olah. So now, the Brisa is saying, that will work, as long as he doesn't make it a Shlomim Yachshav. I mean, that's the second case in the Brisa. I mean, that when does it effective for you to make an Olah after 30 days? That's only when you don't interrupt it, or you don't beforehand place the Kedusha Shlamim on it. Because if you place the Kedusha Shlamim on it before that, Kedusha Shlamim will not go away, and that will run through forever, and the Kedusha Shlamim will never take effect. So the way the Ran's explaining it is that Mi'akshav, when we say the term Mi'akshav, means that if you do something before the effectiveness of the Olah later on, that is going to ruin what you tried to do later on. So according to the Ran, What is the chiddush here? What is the chiddush? The Kamash Montarti, the Ran says that it's teaching us two things. One, that if you say after 30 days, it will be an olah, that's an effective form of kedusha. You can be makdish an animal in such a manner. That's one. Because only when you don't say the shlamim before it does it work, but that means that it does work by itself. And number two, that kedusha zaguf doesn't go away by itself. I mean that if you do make something a shlamim before, it will become an olah in 30 days. That shlamim would override that statement that you made prior, that it will be an olah in 30 days, and the shlamim will go when the kedusha zaguf will not go away by itself. But he only needs to amend the second part of the brisa. Why? Because the Ran says this, such. What's the problem that we have with this brisa? This brisa can't be two cases of kedushas damim. You need one case of kedushas damim and one case of kedushas aguf. So by amending the second part of the brisa, or the second case in the brisa, rereading that second case of the brisa, he changes that case into be a case of kedushas haguf. He's going to leave the first case as being kedushas damim. So what we're going to say is the first case in the Mishnah says kedushas damim is palka bichte. Second case, kedushas aguf is not palka bichte. It can't go away by itself. Oh, but why does that solve the problem for Bar Pada? Why? Bar Pada says that kedushas adamim, the case of nitziot, our case of the trees, where he cuts them down, and then they're still kodesh, that's kedushas adamim. So that's that solve the problem. So Ron says, no problem. Bar Pada will explain this brisa in a case where he's kodesh. That what he said, for the first 30 days, it'll be a shlamim. For the next, after that, it'll be an olah, and we're talking about kedushas adamim. So according to Bar Pada, if you do nothing, it will remain a shlamim forever. I mean that until you redeem it, it will be a shlamim, and the money that you take off will be a shlamim. But if you redeem it prior to those 30 days being up, then you've removed the kedusha shlamim, and therefore after 30 days, the kedusha's ola can take effect. So Rabbah will explain the brisa in a case where you were actually potent, where you redeemed it prior to the 30 days, and by redeeming it prior to the 30 days, you allow the new kedushas damim, the ola, to take effect. But had you not redeemed it, Bar Pada believes that kedushas damim is lo palka bichte. So that's the way the Ran explains this brisa. The Ran solved the problem of it not being two cases of kedushas damim by saying the first case is a case of kedushas damim in the brisa, the second case is a kedushas aguf. And how do we solve the problem for Bar Pada? In the first case, we solved the problem for Bar Pada saying that it was a case where he redeemed it. He said, let this be an ola for 30 days, and after 30 days it will be a shlamim. So if he does nothing, and he doesn't redeem it for the 30 days, then it will remain a shlamim forever, and whenever he redeems it, then that money will go to be a shlamim. Whereas, if he redeems it, right, prior to those 30 days, and he uses that money for shlamim, then at the 30-day mark, it will switch into an ola, because now it's chulin again. If it's chulin again, the kedusha is not palka bichte, he redeemed it. And therefore, the Olah can be effective. How does he explain the second case? That Kedusha Zaguf. That, he rereads the Brisa to say this, that after 30 days, it will be an Olah. That only works if you don't say, Me'akshav Shlamim. If you don't say that it's a Shlamim from today. Because if you said it was a Shlamim for today, Kedusha Zaguf is Lo Paka Bichte. It doesn't go away by itself. So if it will remain a Shlamim forever, and it overrides your statement that after 30 days, it will be an Olah. But if you simply say, L'Akhar Shloshim Yom, it's an Olah, that is effective if you don't interrupt it, if you don't do anything to change it. That's the way the Ran learns. And the Rush, is a version of the Ran, says that we have to reread both cases. Both the first case in the Brisa and the second case in the Brisa to be Kedusha Zaguf. And both of them are saying, as long as you don't interrupt with the Kedusha, you can't create Kedusha further on. I mean, that you're able to create Kedusha in the future. As long as you don't create Kedusha before that point, that would override the future Kedusha. So now the Gemara says, Mide Dehabu, it's similar to a case. Omer Le'isha, so continuing in the Gemara. Now that we've tried to solve the brisa according to Bar Pada, Gemara says this is similar to a case that we have in Kiddushim. Mide Dehabu, Omer Le'isha, Yitkachudli La'achar Lamed Yom. Person says to a woman, let's get married, we'll be married after 30 days. He gives her the case of Kiddushim today, says we'll be married after 30 days. Dimikudeshet, that works as Kiddushim, but Afal Pishin is Akua Ma'ot, even though the money is no longer extant. But even though the money's been spent, used, it's no longer in existence, nevertheless, this is an effective kiddushin. You can make the kiddushin today, and it'll be effective in 30 days. So that's the same thing we're saying over here. What that you can, according to the Ran, according to the Rush, that you can say today that something will be mukdash in the future. I mean, in 30 days, this will be an olah. You're allowed to create such a kiddusha. Same thing by kiddushin. You can be give the case of kiddushin today and say we will be married in 30 days. So it's a similar type of case. For the Rashi, it's a little harder to explain what the connection is, but at least the support for Rashi is that as long as there's no interruption in between, we see, if you don't say me'achshav, meaning that since he gave the Kesef Kedushin today, right? That allows them to get married in the future without interruption. I mean, there's nothing that can change that, even though the money disappears, because he did the kinyan today. Similar to what we said by the kedusha of the animals, that if he makes the kaddish for shlamim and olah today, therefore the olah can disappear after 30 days and the shlamim can take over, because they were placed on at the same time, and the kinyan have the effectiveness with today. But if you try to do it later on, that will not be effective. Now the Gemara is going to challenge us and say, what? Pshita! That's simple! What do you mean? Of course you can get a kedushin afterwards. Lotzricha, no, the case is the Hadar Bey. No, can he reverse the position? I mean, the Chiddush here in the Kedushin is what? That if he says, this will be an Olah in 30 days, or he says to this woman, I'm giving you a Kedushin today, or we'll be married in 30 days, what happens if she changes her mind in between? Meaning she goes and marries another individual in the interim. Or we say, this individual changes his mind, he doesn't want to make this Olah into taxation, he sells the animal prior to being Kodesh. Can he reverse his position? Meaning that placing it out in the future, does that allow you the opportunity to change your position? And that is the chiddush here, that you may not. It is so effective, your statement is so effective, that you may not change your mind. So just like by kiddushin, if you say today to her, hand her a kiss of kiddushin, and say we'll be married in 30 days, she's unable to accept kiddushin in between. So it's over here. When you say about your olah, it will be kodesh in 30 days, you're unable to change your mind and sell it. If you sell it, it's only effective until that 30 days, then it'll belong to hekdesh. And that's the chiddush here of this brisa, that kiddusha is haguf, when you make it in the future, or kiddushin, when you make it in the future, it's so effective that it cannot be undone. Once it's placed in, once you've done it, it cannot be undone. So Gemara says, well, that is hanicha leman da'amar. This issue happens to be a machlokes, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara in Kedushin, whether you can reverse in such a case. So hanicha leman da'amar no chuzer. That works well according to the one who says by Kedushin, once you've done this woman can't marry someone else. I mean, the Kedushin is so effective as to block other Kedushin, that works well. According to the one who says that you can reverse such a kedushin, meaning if she accepts its kedushin from another individual, it would ruin this first kedushin, then what's the chiddush here? Meaning that you've just ruined our chiddush. So the Gemara says, no, afilu lamanda amar, even according to the one who says, chatam chuzeret, by kedushin you can reverse yourself. Hochashaini, by our case, it's different. Why? Da amirato de gevoa. We have a general principle in Hekdesh that your speech is the equivalent of a kinyan by lay people. I mean that by Hekdesh, when you give something to Hekdesh, you don't have to physically make a kinyan to make it effective. Your speaking, your saying it, makes it effective right away. And once it's effective, it's as if a kinyan was already affected on the giving that you have done to Hekdesh. Alright, so why should that make a difference? So that's exactly the machlokas we've had in other places. When a person says, what, I have kesef kiddushin today, I'm handing you kesef kiddushin today, and we're going to be married in 30 days. There are two possibilities that you can look at it. You can say what? The kinyan's effective today, and the kinyan has worked. We have kiddushin, we've just delayed the chalos kiddushin until 30 days later. But the kinyan that we want is happened and done today. If that kinyan's done, then no one else can come in and reverse that kiddushin, meaning that she can't accept kesef kiddushin from someone else and ruin this, because with the kinyan taking place, that kinyan's effective, the kiddushin has happened, we've just delayed the impact of that kiddushin for 30 days, but the kinyan's effective today. So that'll be the opinion of the one who says you cannot be chozer. There's another possibility to look at this like this, what? That we're making a kinyan today, but that kinyan's not effective until 30 days from now. In 30 days from now, the kinyan will be effective, and that's when the kiddushin will start. But until that point in time, nothing has happened. We said above that the Gemara Ksuva says when you do such a thing, then the kinyan has to be in place in the 30th day. I mean, 30 days from now, the kinyan did today, or the kesef kiddushin gave it today, shouldn't be relevant. I mean, you should have to give the kesef kiddushin in 30 days. And here the Mishnah says that even in itachlu ma'ot, even if the money disappeared, it's still effective kiddushin. So that's the Rishonim here point out. The Ron, the Rosh, others point out here that you must explain it, that by kesef kiddushin is different. It's that Gemara says it's not like a milveh, and it's not like mecher, meaning that the money doesn't go away. When you do such a transaction in kiddushin, it's something called shibude de kesef. There's a residual shibud that's generated by giving of the money. And that residual shibud is what he uses in 30 days to create the kiddushin. To have the actual kinyan be effective in 30 days is through this shibude de kesef. And that still exists after 30 days. So machlokes din Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about whether you can be chozer or not, will have to do with when the kinyan is effective. Is the kinyan today? And then we just delay the results of the kedushin, and therefore you cannot reverse this kedushin. I mean, nobody else can come in and interrupt this kedushin or marry her and take her away because we did the kinyan today. Or is the kinyan really in 30 days? I mean, what's the kinyan? It's through the shibuli akesef that remains after these 30 days. He's going to use that as the kinyan in 30 days, and the kinyan will only be effective on the 30th day. Until that 30th day, she's a free woman. If she marries someone else, then that blocks or disables the kinyan that you're going to have at the 30th day. So where that is true by kiddushin, you could have that difference. By hekdesh, that is not true. Why? By hekdesh, amirato. Your simple speech is the equivalent of a kinyan. So therefore, when you say today, la'achalam yom olah, after 30 days it'll be an olah, it's as if you've affected the kinyan now. Because your speech is the kinyan, and everybody would agree, even the one by kiddushin who says that the kinyan is delayed until the 30th day, until it's effective, that's when the kinyan will actually take place. But over here, amirato l'gvoah, k'msirato l'hedjot, your speech, you're speaking in hektesh, will make it as if the kinyan was affected already. It's as if the kinyan happened, and if the kinyan happened already, then there's no way to reverse it, because the kinyan makes it final, that gives you the gemira tadat, that makes it as if it's happened, and no one else can interrupt it. So even the one who says, by kiddushin you be chozer, by kiddusha, by hektesh, you cannot reverse it. So if that's the case, that'll be the chiddushir, and that's the way Bar Pada will explain our braisa. He'll explain our braisa, and therefore it will not be a problem for him, because Bar Pada will believe that kiddushas damin lo paka bichtei. Kiddushas damin does not go away by itself without pidyon, but our braisa will explain, one, if it's a kiddushas damin case that he was potter, or if it's a kiddushas aguf case, it'll be this unusual case where, either according to Rashi, he said me'achshav, and that's why it works, the kiddushas aguf goes away, or according to the Ran and the Rosh, that second case is that he made it kiddushas aguf in the future. And the chiddush is that when you make kiddushas aguf in the future, you're unable to be chozer. You can't change your mind. You're not able to sell it in between or do something else, but it will be kodesh in the future. Now, the Ran points out, this is just a final thing, this is the end of the Gemara, we'll continue from here tomorrow, but just one final thing. The Ran asks about staka. We generally have a position that when someone pledges to give staka, it's equivalent of making something hektish. And therefore, if we believe over here that amirat al-gvoah mesirat al-hedjot, and if you pledge in the future to make something hektish, you may not reverse yourself. What happens if a person says, in 30 days, I will give staka? The person makes a pledge, such a pledge, can he reverse his position? So according to this Gemara, it would seem like not. Just like by hektesh, you cannot reverse your position. So too, by tzedaka, if you make such a pledge in 30 days, I will give tzedaka, you will not be able to reverse your position. So Rambam brings it down, but he does quote the Rashba, says that's not true. The Rashba says that what? That the conclusion of the Gemara as such is only according to Bar Pada. It's only according to Bar Pada who believes that Kedushas Damim is lo paka bichtei, that Kedushas Damim doesn't go away by itself. And therefore, he sets up such a chiddush, that if you in the future make something kodesh, you're unable to be chozer. But if we don't paskin like Bar Pado, right? If we don't paskin, or the conclusion of the Gemara is not like Bar Pado, then even by tzedaka or by hektesh, we would not such a thing that you are not able to reverse it. You would be able to reverse it because kedusha can go away by itself, and therefore this conclusion of the Gemara is only according to Bar Pado and would not have an influence on that decision of someone who commits to give tzedaka in 30 days, that he may not reverse it. Maybe he would be able to reverse it, and it would still be subject to possibly the machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. All right, we'll stop here.